Matthew Gospel 1 verse 1. The book of the generation, he said that's the word Genesis, of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. We continue from where we stopped last week. We are looking at remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. One of Moses' commandments to Israel. So, the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. And we saw that every of the writers of the synoptics, or the what we call the four accounts of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four of them have this in account. How that you cannot write away from the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. You cannot write away from it. So Matthew is going to start his writing. Matthew is going to start his own writing. Then he starts with David and Abraham. He starts with a David and Abraham. To tell you that whatever he's about to write is the words of the prophet. We saw that with Mark. In Mark 1:1, he says, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning, the word beginning there, in Mark 1:1 is also the word Genesis. The beginning, the moment you hear beginning, your mind goes back to Moses. You find Luke doing the same thing also, albeit not in his own first chapter. But we saw Jesus in Luke 24:27 beginning at Moses. So whatever they are writing, whatever they are teaching as the account of the gospel is what the prophet taught. This is not complicated. Don't let this one blow your mind. This is basic. What am I saying? I'm saying what you have in Matthew to Revelation is Genesis to Malachi. We saw that in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at what he is doing. He's about to teach you and tell you about the life and ministry of Jesus. Then he says, in the beginning. So, don't be part of the people who think, listen very well, that the Bible starts from Matthew. There is no way you are going to teach Matthew to Revelation very well without understanding Genesis to Malachi. There is no way. I'm saying this one. There is no way. Absolutely no way. So, the beginning is too pivotal. It's too important. The same way you don't start a book. You don't start reading a book from chapter 8. You don't start reading the book from chapter 8. You start from the first chapter. You can only solve an algebra because you know arithmetic. As simple as 1 plus 1 is too important in solving simultaneous equation. You can't just go to nursery 1 and they write 2x squared plus 2 equals to 15. 14 plus 5x cubed. That's not in sum. What equation is that one? When you start having 5x cubed, you use quadratic, almighty formula. I'm not talking to you first. So you use another formula. Alright. So imagine you just go to primary 1. You say 5x cubed. You don't even know what 1 plus 1 is. Is it making sense? So you start with a Genesis. And that is the fall of many enthusiastic teachers. Now, when you want to teach Matthew, you want to teach Romans, and you don't have a solid background of Genesis, you are going to fall. And if you don't have a solid background of the Exodus story, a solid background of why Israel had kings, because there's a reason why they didn't have kings in Exodus and suddenly they have kings in Samuel. You must understand why they fought wars. You must understand why God supported them in the war. Amen. You must understand the exile, the pre-exilic era, the post-exilic era. Post-exilic era will now be Nehemiah and the rest. Daniel was during the exile itself. So, you must understand what is the difference between those dispensations. We are going to teach all of that one day. What is the difference? The moment you understand that, then you come back to Romans. And Romans is talking about bond servants. Your head will start working. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? So again, the Bible is together. There's nothing like, I will just read Matthew to John, you know? There's nothing like favorite book. When I was much younger, I used to have favorite book. At first it was Hebrews, then later I said it was James, then later I said it was John. My friend used to be Romans. I don't think he even understood it. But he just said Romans. Probably just the one that sounds quite good to his ear. You can have a favorite book, because all the books explain one another. So Matthew is about to give us a new perspective. Then he says, remember David, remember Abraham. Remember David,
remember Abraham. That is the new perspective. The moment you don't understand David, and you don't understand Abraham, you will teach falsely. That's the reason why someone can come and say, he has been called to preach business. There's nobody called to preach business. You are called to teach the word of God. A pastor cannot be a specialist. Oh, me, I am called to teach business. The Bible says, when the sower sows the seeds, come on. Do you know the seeds? Yeah, he gave you some 5 talents. Which one did he give you? You shut up and read the Bible. Say, I'm called to teach politics. Really? Jesus said, give all belongs to Caesar to Caesar. You cannot be a pastor of politics. What's that? He said, I'm called to teach marriage. That's the most popular one. Because you know that the youth want to hear it. You just title a meeting, Adam and Eve, special. Love Garden. Sorry, if you went to Unilag, you know what I mean. Love Garden, 2.0. I saw Sister Hope in Love Garden one day like that. I'm just kidding, you know. Which one did I preach? There's something called Love Garden in Unilag. Brodo! Oh, that's not where you are doing your follow-up. Alright, so you have Love Garden. You say, what can you tie to a meeting like that? Love is in the air. Exactly in February. There's nobody called to teach that. Can we admonish and instruct God's people on issues of marriage? Yes, but you cannot say you are called to teach marriage. Hey, I was talking to someone and he said, his mantra, the evil he was willing to die upon, was Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply. I said, be fruitful and multiply, really? How many children did Adam have? If truly that was the mandate, be fruitful and multiply, how many children did Adam have? At least it's not up to 5. So where how is it fruitful and multiply? How did he replenish the earth? No. Genesis 1:28 is the answer to Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1:2, the earth was dark and empty. And because the earth is empty, you will replenish the earth. You will be fruitful. You must look at the questions and the answers. The questions and the answers, they are in the same breath. The earth is dark and empty, so what did God do? God made a man in his own image, made people after that image and told them, you know what? Go and cover ground. Why? The earth is empty. Amen. And you do that by the gospel. So you can't just take a verse and start running. No, the reason why you teach like that is because you don't understand Genesis. So don't forget, every time I keep emphasizing it, Matthew is Genesis. Mark is Genesis. Luke is Genesis. Is that clear? So if you are going to teach those books well, you must understand what the prophet said. Hallelujah. Ah. Are you in church? Hallelujah. So before I multiply, it's a family thing. It's a gospel thing. Replenish the earth is God's way of correcting what the devil is doing. So in Matthew 1:1, let's go back there. The book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I told you that this is a revision of Genesis 5:1, right? Right? Come on, we looked at Genesis 5:1 already. He said this is a revision of Genesis 5:1, where it says this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. The book of the generation of Adam, the book of the generation of Jesus. So what is Matthew doing? He picks Genesis 5:1, then starts with it. What he's doing is he's giving us, we said last week, he's giving us a new perspective. While you are looking at Adam, he's telling you, look at Jesus. This is the book of Jesus Christ. So he takes our attention off Adam, then brings it to Christ. So what that means is that he will be correcting events, he will be correcting memories, he will be correcting situations from Adam to where? To who? To Christ. So this is now the book of Jesus. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Is it making sense? So we see that Matthew, through the teaching and the life of Jesus, will now give us a new perspective. A new perspective. Gave us a new perspective about the Passover, for example. In the Passover, you know, they kept eating lamb, they kept eating meat, and, you know, they would drink bitter herbs. You know, why we are taking today, what people are taking today, not we. It's not Passover. The real Passover is not sweet. And the real Passover is meat. Amen. If that, me, I prefer that one, yeah? Unlike all this bread.
Yes,
sir. Why don't you just bring us some? Say, this is the Lord's body. I beg, give me. Say, Moturisi. Amen. Lord's body that you already put pepper around. And I'm like, yeah, Lord's body that has already been grieved. I love the Lord's body. You know? But the unfortunate thing is that the drink is bitter. It's bitter herbs, not tasty time. It's tasty time to exist in. It's still existing. That's some longevity. You know, not it's bitter herbs. You know, when you drink it, you know that this is the Lord's blood. But Jesus corrects that. He says, as you're taking this, this is my body. They never knew that. All they knew was, oh, when the sons of Egypt were killed, the first children of Egypt were killed, oh, we escaped. So we'll be eating what we ate that night. Something like that. That was all that was in their head. Then Jesus comes and gives a new perspective. This is now the book of Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Does that make sense? So what you will see in Matthew to John is a new perspective. That's what you're seeing. A new perspective. And one of that is in Matthew 12. Don't forget. So, whatever you're going to be seeing in their writings, he already told you from Matthew 1:1. It's going to be a new perspective. So in Matthew 12, you see something very important. At the time Jesus went on the Sabbath, they chewed the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, have you not read when David was hungry and those that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and he ate the bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests of the temple profaned the Sabbath? If you are looking at your Bible, look at your Bible, not me. Verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you have known this, what it means that we have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is even the Lord of the Sabbath. Now we see the same account of the same event in Mark 2. Just look at Mark 2. Because Mark gives us something that Matthew did not. Which is why they all wrote, so it's fine. So Mark 2, verse 24, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why did they do on the Sabbath day what is unlawful? And he said unto them, have you not read them when David was hungry? Because that is the same event, the same response, but Mark adds something. When David was hungry, and those that were with him, that he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and he did eat of the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but of the priests, and he gave to them that are with him. And he said, can we read verse 27 together? The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for Sabbath. Oh, interesting. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. So, we said, we have seen two facts, right? Number one, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. We saw that in Matthew 12. Then the second one is, the Sabbath was what? Okay. Number one, fact. The Son of Man is what? Okay, number two? The Sabbath was made. Oh, that one. The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made for man. Now, to understand the Sabbath, from the introduction of my teaching, to understand that Sabbath, what do we do? Eh? We'll go back to the beginning, right? Uh-huh. You are good students of the Bible. Good. So, we said, you cannot just say Sabbath. Because over time, we see that Jesus keeps correcting their notion. Like I said last week, there are people who talk about what they don't know about. Right? Don't forget the story I told you. That brother. I was asking, did Moses, Moses put off his shoe. That Christians also put their shoe off and all of that. So I said, how many times did he put off his shoe? He said, did Moses put off his shoe or not? I said, he put off his shoe, but he said, no gimme but. No but, no ish, no maybes. Did Moses put off his shoe? I said, let me explain. He said, don't explain anything. Yes or no? Ah, yes. He said, that's what I was here. He said, but. He said, there are people like that. They don't want to hear any other thing. Oh, you must not be like that. Look at the Pharisees. They were so bold to say, your disciples, they are profaning the Sabbath. They are profaning the Sabbath. You don't even know what the Sabbath is. So to understand, we have to go back to what did God intend for the Sabbath? Is it a day? Is the Sabbath a day? No. Look at Genesis 2. Because when you talk about what you don't know, it makes you look funny. Makes you look really, really, really funny. Genesis 2. Are you there? Thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and rested. That's the word Sabbath. Rested. S-H-A-B-A-T-H. Shabbat. I think we already spelled that last week. S-H-A-B-A-T-H. And rested on the seventh day from all the work he had made. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And this is almost like the first mention of the word Sabbath. And often when people talk about the Sabbath day, this is where your mind goes to. That God rested on the seventh day. So, people start arguing. Is the seventh day Sunday? Is it Saturday? Some people say even Friday. In fact, the Muslims believe it's Friday. That's why they do their stuff on Friday. You'll be surprised that it's that funny. Alright, so, some people say again, which is fine, anyone you choose. The funny thing is that if you live in a country like Saudi Arabia, you go to church on Fridays. You go to work on Sunday. Amen. You can imagine how weird it's going to look. Sunday morning, you're not in your tie, and it's not for service. You're going to work. They do their weekend on Fridays. So you go to church on Friday morning. How about that? That would be sweet, yeah? It's not. Friday morning, you don't want to worship God again. Hallelujah. So, you see that by just changing the country and the law, you are already altering the Sabbath. So let's look at, is the Sabbath a day? No. So we got to look at that rest, that word rest. And we said the word Sabbath means do not work. Stay away from work. That's the word Sabbath. Put work aside. It means to get the benefits of work without working. To get the benefits of work without working. For example, now, this one just came to my head now. When I was much younger, you know, every family has this uncle, this rich uncle. Right? If you don't have your family, it's fine. This well with you, you'll be the rich uncle. Alright, so, every family has this rich uncle, you know, that when I was younger, they always have messages best. You know, this messages best that is, So there's this one that just came from the US that time. I was much younger, probably 10. And my cousins, the older ones, were like 16, 17. So they helped him wash his car. And all that. Me, I was just sharing them up. They said, let me go and bring water. I will not bring water. Let me go and bring hose. All of that. Because everybody liked me in the family, so there was no point. You can't beat me. If you beat me, you're in trouble with everybody. So, I just... And when we were done washing the car, the uncle just came. He said, how many of you are involved? Then, three of them said, yeah, I. They said, how about YJ? He said, he did not do anything. He said, you are a liar. You are counting. Four of you go and share this thing. That's about, amen. I did not touch water, right? Water did not touch my body. I was just jumping around the car. Probably whatever, playing around. But I got the same benefits as those who worked. That is the rest. In English, rest means when you are done working, you will not work. In the Hebrew, it's not like that. In the Hebrew, if I say you are resting, it means you did not work. Yes, you are going to get the benefit of working. Does that make sense? Aha. Good. So, the question now remains, who rested? Is it God? Because God already worked. So if rest in the Hebrew means to not work, yet get the benefit of work, who rested in Genesis? Man, Adam. So, you understand why Jesus would now say, the Sabbath was made for man. In Mark 2:27. So you understand why Jesus will now come and say, the Sabbath was made for man. The rest is man's rest. God did the work, man had to rest. Then we began to look at that rest, more importantly in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 3.
Are you learning something?
Yo. So we have been able to conclude some things here. Whose rest was this in Genesis?
Man.
Alright? Adam's rest. Why? God already did everything. Adam was just meant to come and what? Flenger. He's going to enjoy the benefits of work without working. He didn't have to create a tree. He didn't have to create animals. He didn't have to create water. He met water. He met the firmament. He met the ocean. He met lion. He met the trees. He met the fruits. His own is to eat. Eat of everything that is in the garden. Hallelujah. So, man is the one that had the rest. The Sabbath is for man. Look at Hebrews 3. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost has said, today if you will hear His voice, don't add in your hearts, as in the days of the provocation, the temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me and proved me, they saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. So, the rest is for man, but provided by who? God. They will not enter into my rest. Take it, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? With them, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they would not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So, again, how do you enter into his rest? By believing, alright? So, who will not enter into his rest? To them that believe not, alright? So, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. He's talking about the rest like it's a place. He's saying, the people that came out of Egypt, some of them did not enter into the rest. And you're wondering, is Canaan the rest? Because, in your head, you might think that the rest is a day. No. If it's a day, we'll not be saying they did not enter into the rest. It's not a day. The rest is not a day. It's not a Sunday. The Sabbath is not a Sunday. Alright? Chapter 4 verse 1. Let us therefore fear, let a promise be left us to enter into his rest. Any of you who seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, being not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Can we read verse 3? And to verse 5 together. I want to go. For we which have believed, do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn unto my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished, on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all the works, and this place again, if they shall enter into my, look at what he just said. He said verse 3, for those who have believed, say those who have believed, they have done what? They have entered into rest. He says, because the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So again, he's reiterating that Sabbath theme. The works were finished. That's why it's called the rest. Because the works were finished from the foundation of the world, then you can have a Sabbath. So again, we have seen that God's rest is salvation. He says, those who have believed have entered into rest. So the real idea of the rest of Genesis is that God has done everything. Adam just ought to believe. God has finished the work on the foundation of the world. What is man's duty? Believe and you shall enter into his rest. Believe and you shall be a partaker of the rest. So God's rest, God's Sabbath is not a day. It is made for man to have eternal life. So what we call that rest is salvation. I have sworn that those who believe will enter into my rest. What is my rest? They will not work for approval. They will not work for salvation. They will not work for healing. They will believe that I have done it and they will have it. They will get the benefits of the work without having to do it. Israel did not enter into it. He called it the days of provocation. What were they doing? They were now offering sacrifices. They were now offering burnt offerings. God accept us. And God is saying, accept you as how? Enter into the rest. You don't have to give a burnt offering. And that's why the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10, we say, verse 1, you keep bringing burnt offering year after year. It cannot bring you to perfection. Because God did not design his rest for you to walk. The moment you walk, it's not a Sabbath. The moment you start struggling, the moment you start striving, it's not a Sabbath. No. The Sabbath of God is that Jesus has done it all. We sang that song last week. The Sabbath of God is that Jesus has done it all. His finished work, we come into it and we say, if you did it, I believe you did it for me. That is the rest. Remember the Sabbath. Hallelujah. We also saw in Matthew 11. So we said, the rest is made for who? And the rest is what? Eh? God's salvation. God's finished work. God's finished work. Matthew 11. The background. I already explained this, but we keep doing this every week. The background, John sent his disciples, go and ask Jesus, are you the Messiah who should expect someone else? Then Jesus said, go and tell him, the poor have the gospel preached to them, the blind see, the lame walk, you know, and all of that. And then Jesus began to reprove some cities. He said, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you, Tyre and Sidon. If the works that were done in you were done in Sodom, Sodom would have repented, and all of that. Then he said in verse 28, come to me, Matthew 11, 20. Come to me. Come to me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Excuse me. Why are they not having rest? Eh? No, it's just a general question. Why do you think they are not having rest? No, just from that verse, Matthew 11, 28. Eh? They are laboring already. Exactly. How simple is that? How simple was that? Simple, yeah? Because of the labor, that's why they don't have rest. Then Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest is for man, but it must be provided by God. The rest is for man, but God must be the one that did the work. You know, sometimes we try to want to please God. We try to want to... I'm not saying you don't please God. We'll look at that. There are two sides of the coin, but it's just one coin. I'm not saying, oh, thank you, Pastor. You have said I should not please God. I will show you. I've already had plans, so now I will not please God. No. What I'm saying is that man does not beg for salvation. You don't say, you know, when I was young, I told you last week that, there was a teaching like that, seven kinds of people that God cannot save. I was much younger then. And when the preacher was done with the seven kinds of people, I thought I was like four out of the seven. I said, God, I beg, whatever you need to do, just do. If it's hell, just ensure that I'm not in the hottest part. Something like that. But later I found out that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And you're telling me that there are seven kinds of people that God cannot save. But while we were yet sinners, he died. So that you don't have to do the work. You don't have to bring offerings and door to those and start crying and start saying, and start rolling on the floor and start saying, help me, O Lord. Wash me with eye shop, I shall be clean. You know that one? Let me be white as snow. Create in me a new heart, O Lord. Renew your life, renew your life spirit within me. Cast me not away from your... It's good to feel remorse, but salvation is not what you work for. Salvation is not what you work for. You cannot die. You cannot die for sins, can you? Vivi, can you die for sin? Oh, you want to try? You know, those that do drama. Have you seen that before? Oh, doing Jesus. And I beating him. Yeah, yeah! I just not say yeah now. I just say forgive them, Father Lord. He said, I'm not going. He said, I'm not Jesus. Hey, but you want to try now? Without the shedding of blood, there is no rest. Something like that. There's no remission of sin. So remission of sin is the rest God provided. Forgiveness of sin is the rest God provided. Eternal life is that rest. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we said, God's rest comes without works. God's rest comes without works. And we see that that rest is salvation. You don't pay for it. You don't work for it. You just believe that He has done the work. Amen. Salvation did not happen because you stopped wearing trousers. I didn't know what you have against trousers, but trousers are fine. Salvation did not happen because, oh, you don't use earrings. Oh, you don't palm your hair. Oh, you don't wear jeans. No, I'm just believe that if you wear jeans, you are going to hell. That jeans is manufactured from the devil. How about that? Come on, how about that one? You know, when I was younger, if you use attachments or, what do you call it, wig, they say it's from Marine Kingdom. They must be very beautiful there. Amen. One sister even went to hell. And hellfire and heaven. I don't know how she got back. But she went to hell and heaven as she claimed. And it said that they are producing attachment in the Marine Kingdom. They produce wig underwater. And see, just hear yourself first. They produce wig underwater. And they package it inside lino. They now treat it. Fishermen now cut it. You don't think, do you? Thinking is not one of your faults. Hallelujah. And say, all these luxurious cars, they are coming from hell. Hey! And is that AC? Lamborghini is from hell. And that AC. Don't you like that kind of hell? Something has AC. It says from hell fire. See, when fire burns, the gas will leak now, and all of those things. I don't know, this hell fire that you're owning. When the fire is like factory, it's producing vehicle, it's producing car. At the point it was TVs. TV is the devil's box. TV. That not do anything. And so, sometimes when people feel, oh, I don't watch TV, I don't wear jeans, I don't use vehicle, I don't even use a car, I trek. You think trekking is how you get saved? How about that one? Even Jesus rode on a donkey. Get a donkey. So, you think, oh, I am denying myself of vehicle. Okay, so I'm buying one. I'm denying myself of hearing. So I am saved. No. You are only saved if you believe in what He did, not what you did. The moment it's about what you did, then you are not saved. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2:10. Salvation is only from God. I am the God who saved you. You don't get to save yourself. Are there responsibilities we have after being saved? Yes. But that's not what saves you. No, that is, those are the things you do because you are now saved. Because I am now saved, I don't tell lies. Because I am now saved, I don't steal. And I do those things from within my spirit because I am now empowered by the Spirit of God to do it. I now have a new spirit. I am now a child of God. So I can now go on to do all these things. I'm not going to do those things so that I can get saved. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I am already saved. That makes sense. So again, salvation is God's rest. Can we say that together? Salvation?
Salvation.
No, come on, everybody. Salvation,
salvation
is God's rest.
God's rest.
And it's made for who? Thank you. So go back to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Now very important, and this is where we took the teaching from. What we call the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, I am the Lord, verse 2, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So you know that whatever he's talking to those who are already saved from Egypt. You shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make any graven image in the likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath
or that in the water under the earth. You shall not bow yourself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, Exodus 20, I am, verse 5, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children, to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to the thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. We've explained all of these ones before. This one does not mean we're lying, or saying Jesus, or using Jesus to cut cake, as much as that is very horrible. Say J-E-L-U. Come on. You can do better. Why not use Ronaldo or something? Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So, we already said, number one, this is not a law. You know, there are people that say, we are not under the law. That's the extreme. No, we spoke about people that said, Weavon is in hell and everything. And they don't believe in earrings. Is there anyone that is not using earrings? Do yourself. Oh, yeah. They don't believe in earrings. They do hair like your hair, no attachment, or your attachment. Eh? Ah. They must have a blemish. The one that, is this not your hair? This is a godly kind of hair. You bop. Eh? Godly. But, you need earrings. Oh, good. Ah, this is the kind of view that God is looking for. Scared. No earring. Not like Tajidit or Zajoy. Yes. Ah, heaven go hard, you enter. Heaven go hard, though. Like a camel. I want a grown up like this. So, there's that camp. There's another camp. Their own is, we can wear anything. Can see that? There are two extremes. We can wear anything. We are under rest. Rest. Forever. Rest. I don't have to do anything. He has done it. I told you. You have a responsibility. There's a reality of salvation. He has done it. You believe. There's a responsibility of the same. Because you believe, you will now do this. How many get what I just said? You want me to repeat myself? Let me see your hands. Some of you are sitting on the fence. Alright. There's the reality of salvation. What's the reality? God provides the rest. Right? God provides salvation. Through his own work, God provides it. You believe in it. Abi? There is the responsibility. Because I have now believed, there are now things I ought to do. What you call the fruit of the Spirit is not the seed of the Spirit. It's not you trying to get the Spirit. No, it's the fruit. Is the product of having the Spirit. So when I say, you will not lie, you will not steal, those are the fruits of the Spirit. It's because I already have the Spirit, I will yield those fruits. Does that make sense? So what you call the Ten Commandments, that is the fruit of the Spirit in the prophets. What you have in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit now is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faithfulness, kindness, that is Exodus 20. You will not steal. You will not kill. You will not commit adultery. You will not covet your neighbor's wife. Hallelujah. Or your neighbor's property. It's not law. It's not commandment. It's not binding your hand. It's not shackles. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We are in such a generation. Anything like this. Law! Someone even called me and said, you are just a law. I thought you are grace. Grace is God. Anoluwapon. Say, I thought you are a messenger of grace. I listened to some of the teachings. I said, grace personified. Yeah, but when I heard some teachings, that's the retreat too. You know, when I heard some teachings, like, I need that you are law. What is the teaching? Be an example. Be an example to believers. Don't go about sleeping around. How is that a bad message? How is that law? Just say that you are an uncontrolled idiot who does not want to hear words. It's a different thing if you find yourself doing something and then you don't have a reprobate mind. There's something called a reprobate mind where you are trying to validate what you are doing. That is one of the greatest things. God doesn't like it. It's something that when you are wrong and you know you're wrong, you might not be able to correct it in the instance, but you know you're wrong. But when you are wrong and you are saying, oh Jonan, you have a reprobate mind. You hear this one and say, it's law. Thank you. I told him, I said, I didn't even know I was grace. Until he just told me like this.
Thank you. But you are putting law back. Thank you. Anyway, you are right. You can even call me law grace. Or grace is law.
Maybe you want to be stupid.
If there is anything you tell them that is good, it shackles. Very woke generation. Very woke. You are snatching your best friend's husband. You saw it. They start your best friend's husband. And she went on social media and posted him and said, say whatever you can. I'm enjoying my good days. Your days are full of evil, like Jacob. How can that be good days? You snatch someone's husband. And you know, this is the generation we are in. Amen. Like, you know, in the old times, if you do that kind of thing, if someone does that kind of thing, they will not even post. There's nothing to post. Where do you post it? It's a newspaper. I don't use P.O. Box. I use P.O. Box. I use P.O. Box very well. You don't even know P.O. Box again. Nitel. You use Nitel. Hallelujah. You want to call someone, you first calculate. Ha. How much do I have? you have to calculate. For now, anybody has data. A pastor was praying for someone at the polling unit. He decided writing. Unicorn. They started again. He started again. This is election, not healing meeting. But you always said that everywhere just went, he was doing good. Let him do good. Amen. These are the same people that will tell you that if you are doing healing meeting in church, they will say, go and do it outside. Yeah, those are your church members. Do it outside. Let's see. He has done it outside. You have talked again. Officially. Must you say something? Hallelujah. They do it in church, you talk. They do it in the street, you talk. They should not do it at all. You will say, if you know you are a man of God, heal the sick. He has healed the sick. Hallelujah. I have to follow the story. It was the lady that came to the man. He's a known pastor. Saw him in the polling and he said, pray for me, sir. And she got healed immediately there. Not his church member. Got immediately healed there. Is that not a good news? Next thing he says, he is his love on Nigeria. If you know you love Nigeria, go and vote. Why is he in the polling unit? To chop bread. But because you are a woke generation, anything that is good is, anything that they say that can just affect you so much is law.
Shackles. Shackles, shackles.
Hallelujah. So Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath. So, going by what we have explained, the Sabbath will be what? What Christ has done, right? Remember what God has done to keep it holy. Remember what God has done. So we said the Sabbath was not meant to be a day. It was meant to be what? A state, a life man will bring to himself. A life of living in God's plan. Amen. A life of living in God's plan. So the Sabbath is not a day. The Sabbath is a life. The Sabbath is God's plan for us. But why would they turn into a day? Of course, because of the hardness of their hearts. So Moses already understood that these ones, they don't want to tell them about eternal life. You know what I'll just do? We are going to have a day where you will not work and you will eat. He said, is it possible? I thought that I would have to work. He said, everything, you would have worked everything on Saturday. In quotes. Then when it's that Sunday, in quotes, you will not work, you just eat it. Say, even the cattle. Is it possible? Moses is trying to use that to explain God's plan for them. Where you will not do anything, yet you will enjoy the benefits of work. Is it making sense? But he did that because of the hardness of your heart. Same with circumcision, right? Will you have that last week, Abby? Same with circumcision. They are circumcised, not because God wants to remove the foreskin of flesh. The real circumcision will be where? In their hearts. But because of the hardness of their heart, Matthew 19, Moses will allow them to do some things. Amen. So, Moses enjoined Israel, remember God's provision of rest. Tell someone beside you, remember the Sabbath. Come on. Say, remember the Sabbath. Exactly. Remember that God provides help for you. What a commandment. In the same vein, he asks you, do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery. In the same vein, he tells you, remember the Sabbath. Remember God's help. Remember that you didn't work for it. Remember. And this is what a lot of Christians need to do. Oftentimes, when you find yourself in the river of guilt and sin consciousness or crisis, remember the Sabbath. I know that your conscience is somehow, you feel, what am I doing? Am I even serving God? Why do I keep going back to this same thing? Why do I keep this same lifestyle, this same lies? Why do I keep doing the same things? Remember the Sabbath. It's one of God's cure for sin consciousness. Remember the Sabbath. Oftentimes, a lot of people struggle for acceptance. Oh, will God accept me? They struggle for God's love. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Where did you see that He will take the Holy Spirit from you? Where did you see that one? It's nowhere in the Bible. He said, I will give you my Spirit that will abide with you forever. Is that not it? Eh? See, even the Holy Ghost, which will abide with you forever? John 14. Then you come and say, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Hey, calm down. I understand that, of course, when I say a genuine heart, even in ignorance, it is better than a knowledgeable person who is living intentionally in sin. I'll say it again. An ignorant person who doesn't know God's word, but yet he's saying, oh, don't take your spirit from me, is a better fit. Is a better person. Now someone that knows all the Greek words, the word deit, deit in the Hebrew, deit, deit, it is God's temple. It is what Moses would call the body. And when you see the body, and after that, they ask you, did you do prayer? Have you done your prayer? And you boldly say yes, when you did not do it. With all the beit, skeit, melit, malik, you should be ashamed of yourself. Hallelujah. Don't be that kind of Christian. Don't deceive yourself. Those who observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. What is all that? Silent conversations. Amen. Go and listen to it. Silent conversations with Jonah, have you? Those who observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. Don't lie to yourself. Is that clear? Don't lie to yourself. Don't create a fake life of Christianity. That's not what God intended. On campus, I saw a lot of that. You see, some fellowship, then in the hostel, you are something else. I keep wondering. And this is your Bible study secretary. God forgive us. So we used to even laugh at some. Faith, I mean, but we don't do that again, amen. See, this is not his Bible study secretary. This one! Onyo Gofa! You know, it's not Greek word though. Onyo Gofa! How did I not want Bible study secretary? She said, I thought it was not him. I could not imagine it in my head. You know, in hostel now, after the staircase, you have some places that is corner like this, that nobody can go. I mean, I used to go there to receive breeze. I used to go there. Breeze used to blow there very well. So I carry my head sometimes lie down there. I say, hey, breeze here before I even blow. I say, emoji. Not like that. Alpha. Thank God. I'm not usually stunned or surprised. I was shocked. And you carry Bible. And you, what, so who are you deceiving? If you need help, say you need help. If you need help with lying, say you need help. Talk to someone and say, you know what? I lie too much. The angel asked Jacob, who are you? He said, I am Jacob. The angel said, hey, first stay there where you are. Because Jacob, I steal things. I take things. I Jacob things. See that cat today? I Jacobed it. My wife, Jacobed. All the property you are seeing, I Jacob it from my father-in-law, Laban. The angel said, I have it. He had the angel. He wants to Jacob me. He said, you will no longer be called Jacob. You will be called Israel. Don't act like you are Israel yet. Amen. What is your name? Jacob. Hallelujah. The cheat, the ill order, the supplanter. Don't live on lying vanities.
Hallelujah. So,
Some people, oftentimes people lock, they struggle for God's attention. So after that, you struggle to remember, oh, does God love me? Can I still, how this is I'm doing, am I just deceiving myself? No, you're not. There's always a window to change. Amen. There's always God's love ready for you. But you have to remember the Sabbath. You have to remember that while you are yet sinners, Romans 5, Christ died for me. We have that song. I am the one that Christ died for. How about that? I am the one. Let's take that song. Can you put it on the screen? There was a time. We take it from beginning to the end. How about that one? So just sit down. There was a time. We don't need this for now. That was the way. There was a time. Sin was the rain. But the Father. Right in His law, He gave His Son. Help us.
He gave His Son, you didn't have to ask.
We are believed in what He did, We are eternal life. We are received. The Son of God, the Son of God. And what He did, He did it for us. The new creation is the Father's work. Full of His glory, we have been helped. Joined with the Lord, this union is inseparable. I am the one that Christ died for. I'm bold to say I am the one that Christ died for. Oh yes, I am the Father's one. I'm bold to say I am the one that Christ died for. Oh yes, I am the Father's one.
You believe that? I am the one that Christ died for.
So if He made all those promises and He said, whoever believes in His death, burial, and resurrection has eternal life, then I do. Amen. If He says, I am in His law forever, then I do believe. I am the one Christ died for. That's all it takes to enter into His rest. You have to remember that while we are yet sinners, God sent His Son to the world to die for the world. Not to condemn them. Not to look down on anyone. No. To love you. Hallelujah. I am the one Christ died for. So, you have to relive the memories of His rest. You have to relive the memories of His work for you. He is for you. Amen. Look at Exodus 31. You learn something? So, when you get to crossroads, and it appears like there's a heavy load, can I bear this? No, relieve His rest. Go back and tell yourself, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He didn't need your permission. He didn't wait for you to cry. He didn't wait for you to beg. He didn't wait for you to even repent. He did it without your permission. So that it can be called a rest. Hallelujah. We are in His rest. Hallelujah.
Oh, you believe that? Exodus 31. Verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses. Talk to the children of Israel and said to them, verily my Sabbath you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. That you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. So the Sabbath is in link with sanctification. When you hear, it will be a memory for you and your children. What comes to your heart? Eternal life, right? What transcends generation? What transcends this life? When David said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When he hears things like that, those are things that Christ will do. This circumcision will be a memorial for you and your children, your children's children. When you hear things like that, of course, the prophet already has in mind
salvation through faith. So he says, my Sabbath you shall keep. Verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defies you shall be put to death. Of course, proper. How do you defile the Sabbath? By not believing. Because if you believe, you observe the Sabbath. If you believe, you enter into the rest. If you believe, you get God's plan fulfilled. Anyone that does not believe, what will happen? John 3:16. Or John 3:18. They'll be damned. Mark 16:16. Alright? Alright, so. For it is only unto you, he that defiles you shall be put to death. For whosoever does any work herein, he shall be cut off amongst people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. Holy unto the Lord. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall be put to death. Verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and your children and the children of Israel forever. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses when he had made of the end of the communion within of a month and 2 tables of stones written with the finger of God. Hallelujah. So, again, the rest of God is for sanctification. So we said that the rest is salvation, right? Come on. Does man work for it? Eh? Does man strive for it? Wait, do you have to do anything for God to love you? That was the truth. My sound somehow say, are you sure? Pastor, maybe you don't know what I'm doing, you know? Maybe you don't know me. Don't worry. God loves you. How about that? That's a simple statement. God loves you. You believe it? He died for you. How about that one? Alright? So, I lay hold on his rest. Thank you, Jesus. Remember the Sabbath. Remember all he has done. Remember. You sang that song this morning. Remember, our God will never fail. Remember that his name will make you. Remember what he has done. Remember that why you didn't even know anything about Matthew 1:1 or John 3:16. He already died for you. Relieve that rest. Rehearse it in your ears every day. God loves you. I'm going to show my love for him too. How about that? So as we close on that path, I've taught you before that, like every work of salvation, it is progressive in our lives. Now, don't mind the English. I'm going to explain what I'm saying. I said, like every work of salvation, everything that happens in salvation, we keep seeing it through our Christian walk. For example, salvation is called the leading of God. As man gets saved, he's actually led by God. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And he was talking about salvation. He was talking about we are led away from the flesh to the Spirit. If you read the entire Romans 8, it first starts with, there's no condemnation. Say there's no condemnation. Glorious answer. Say there's no condemnation. Yeah. So he said there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because they have entered into this rest. There's no condemnation. You will never be condemned. Hallelujah. Then he goes, because they don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has made them free from law of sin and death. What the law could not do. Now it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son, who through the flesh abolished death. Then he says, we have been led away from the flesh to the Spirit. Amen. So salvation is the leading of God. How does God lead us? It starts with salvation. Jesus told Paul in Acts 26, he said, you will turn them from darkness to light. That's leading. From the power of Satan to the power of God, that he's going to lead us. Say, he leads me. In Colossians 1, he said, he has translated them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his Son. Colossians 1. So he leads us. What we call salvation is God leading us. But the beautiful thing about God's work is that it doesn't stop when you are saved. He still leads us. Say, my sheep will hear my voice. I lead them out and I lead them in. The voice of the stranger they will not follow. John 10. So, he did not just lead us in salvation, he still leads us today. You believe that? I have the leading of God. Oh, you don't? I have. You have? You do? Your own is half. You have. Or you have. I've got the God leading. He leads me. I know his voice. I don't make mistakes.
I go where he leads. I go where he leads. The voice of the stranger I will not follow.
Yeah, I'll teach around the leading of the Spirit very soon. So, salvation is the leading of God, but he also leads us every day. That's how God works. You look at, when we're teaching the fruit of the Spirit, you know, we look at this very well. That everything you see in the fruit of the Spirit is at salvation, he now asks us to do it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Who loves us? God. His salvation is love, then he asks us to love. In his salvation, we see joy. In his presence, I mean, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Of course, that's not in church. That is in his resurrection. There's fullness of joy. We thought that one before, I mean. The psalmist look at the cross. Is that it? Eh? The psalmist look at the cross. Well, look at the lines are falling upon me in pleasant places. Not me, oh. Maybe you. Lines are falling upon you in pleasant places. You receive a goodly inheritance. Ah. You don't want the lines to fall upon you. But that one is not for today. It is falling upon you. Take it like that. We said everything you see in the fruit of the Spirit is what God has done in salvation. For example, you look at the word peace. Peace is what God did in salvation. In Ephesians 2, Paul lets us understand that he broke the middle wall of partition. We obtain peace with God through Christ. So, peace is what Jesus did in his death. Peace means union. It means there is nothing missing in between. There is nothing broken in between. Say, I've got peace. Ah. See if you have peace. Say, I've got peace. All round. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I've got peace. So peace is our salvation. But you observe that in our walk of faith, he also gives us peace. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, he says, he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. He will keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah 26, whose mind is stayed on Christ. So again, peace is not just what he did in salvation, peace is what he does for us today. In Philippians 4:6, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. Then in verse 7, he says, but God who answers prayers will grant you peace that surpasses all understanding. So again, he did not just grant us peace and salvation, even in our daily living, we have peace. So everything God does at salvation, he does not stop there. He gives us daily. Say, gives us daily. Gives us daily. Everything he does at salvation, he gives us daily. In our continual work, he gives it to us. So salvation is a daily experience, an everyday experience. So, same way, listen very well, his rest, he gives us daily. He gives us Sabbath daily. He's not just going to stop at salvation, no. He gives us that rest every day. God surrounds me with rest. Oh, he works things out for me. Yeah. Don't forget, that's where we started from. He said, the Sabbath means God works everything out, you just enter. He works things out for me. I love that song. He said, I don't care what's going on behind this thing. I know that everything works together for me. Hallelujah. All things work together for those who love God. He gives us that rest daily. Look at Psalm 5. He learned something. And I want you to remember that Sabbath. It's our salvation, and it's also for us every day. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 I'll start from Psalm 4. The book of Psalms, chapter 4, verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Can we verse 8 together? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, O Lord, makes me dwell in safety. Amen. That word peace is the word rest. In fact, the word peace and sleep, almost the same thing in that breath. I will lay down in rest. In chapter 5, verse 11. But let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let them also that love your name be joyful in you. Can we verse 12 together? For you, O Lord, we bless the righteous. With favor you will compass him with his shield. He surrounds me with favor. He surrounds me with favor.
He surrounds me with rest.
You know, you can have rest. Hallelujah. You can have rest. You can have instances where God just works things out and you enter. You don't believe it.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's what he does. He has been doing it. He has been doing it.
Israel never did anything. Just follow Moses. Took them out of the Egypt, out of Egypt. Took them to the sea. Took them to the wilderness. And they were eating every day. They didn't work. They were enjoying the benefits of working. That's what God can do. I'm not saying you will not work. I'm saying God will bless what you do. You believe that? In places where it appears that there's a crisis, in the name of Jesus, you will find God's rest.
Amen.
There's rest for me.
Rest for me.
He said, He surrounds the righteous with favor like a shield. Thank you, Jesus. So the Sabbath was made for me. How about that? Exodus 33. Immediately they came out of Egypt. In verse 12, Moses was praying for God's presence. You know what? You show me your glory kind of thing. Verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, you said to me, bring up these people, and you not let me know whom thou you send with me. Yet you have said to me, I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Now I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that the nation is your people. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.
You believe that?
I love it.
My presence will go with you. How about you take that for a mantra?
God has told me, said His presence is with me, and He will give me rest.
I don't struggle. I don't struggle. I don't struggle. I don't labor in vain. His rest is mine.
His Sabbath is for me. His rest is mine. I am not in turmoil. Amen. And God forbid, I'm not in turmoil. In Joshua 21, you can have rest. Amen. He still gives it. He still gives it. He still gives it. And I'm going to have it. Every day of my life, I am not in struggle. I'm not confused. I'm not confused. I don't lose. I have rest. I have God's rest. He's working things out for me. In the name of Jesus. Joshua 21. Verse 43. The Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He swore to give to their fathers. And they possessed it and dwelt therein. Can we verse 44 together? And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that He has sworn to their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies to their hand. That's what I have. Amen. The Lord delivered all their enemies to their hands. Yebo Sakaja. Came out to see. He said the Lord gave them rest round about. In every sphere. In every place. Where they thought that they didn't have it all figured out. Where you are still thinking, what can I do? What should I do? What, how, when, who? He said God gave them rest round about. God gave them rest round about. He did it in salvation. He's still doing it. God gave them, remember His Sabbath. Remember it in sin consciousness. Remember it in guilt. But also remember it in crisis. Remember that God can give rest. Remember that things can turn around. Remember that by the finger of God, situations can change. Remember His Sabbath. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say, I have rest round about.
1 Kings chapter 5. You learn something? Verse 2. Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, you know that David my father could not build an house unto the, in the name of the Lord? For the walls were about him on every side. He had war on every side. Until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. Can we verse 4 together? But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. So that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. Amen. This is me.
Said David my father, you know, he could not do some things because there was just one war, something to fight, someone wants to go against. He said, but me, God has given me rest on every side.
Can you just pray with that? That's what I'm going to teach. Just pray with that. God has given me rest on every side. So that there's no adversary, nor evil occurrence. He has given me rest and peace. Amen. Job 11. Oh, I am assured of his rest.
Job 11. Thank you, Jesus. Because, verse 16, because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as waters that pass away, and your age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. You will be as the morning, and you will be secure. Amen? Because there is hope. Yea, you shall dig about thee, and you will take rest in safety. You believe that? He's talking about the righteous. And it says you will take rest in safety. Your times will be like this noonday. There will be no darkness in your life. God made that plan in the beginning. Did everything then asked man, come on, go in. No need to fight, no need to struggle. Go in. And he's still doing it today. Did it for Israel. He said, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. God's rest is for us. I believe it and I receive it. I walk in it all my life. You know, there are people who don't struggle in their lives. Amen. You know, there are people who don't struggle. You know, there are people who don't struggle. I'm one of them. Where things get solved. Where no matter how big the mountain is, it will level up. It will come down. No matter how deep the valley is, it will come up. Because there's rest for me. He said, it will give you rest on every side. Solomon said, my father could not do it, but you know me. God has given me rest on every side. There's no enemy. Hallelujah. Because the enemies are destroyed. That means I'm walking with the Lord of hosts. That means I'm walking with the mighty man of war. There is rest for me. Look at Isaiah 14. And I'll close with that one. Probably. Isaiah 14. There. Verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Hallelujah. How can you be quiet and break forth into singing? The whole earth is at rest. He's talking about rest from bondage because the fall of Babylon is near. The fall of Babylon was near. That was when they were in exile. The entire Israel were in captivity. Daniel, remember Daniel, Shadrach, and all of them? They were in exile captivity. But Isaiah comes and says, rest is near. Hallelujah. Tell someone beside you, rest is now.
Rest now.
But sometimes Christians go through some things and then they think, maybe God, all God wants to just do for me is just get me saved and might just be a struggle for this earth. Abi? Some of you accuse me that everything is just salvation, 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 salvation. He did his salvation. This one, salvation, this one, salvation, everything is salvation. That is that all? I didn't say that's all. That's the major, amen? But the same way he showed you love at salvation, he still showers you with love every day. That same way, he will still surround you with rest. You know a man can have rest in his life. Hope you know that. Oh yeah, some people just used to... We have to struggle. A luta continua. This life is about struggles. I recall there was a particular time, Pastor Christian Akilome. He said, someone came to him, someone said, we the masses, there is a way. He said, just told the person, who? Who? He said, we now, we the masses, the elites, the way the elites treat us. He said, come, we. Who are the elites? Who are the elites? I am one of them. He said, but me and you. He said, you are who? You can't do for your people. I know my tribe. You can't do for your people. He said, I'm not one of the masses. I'm a child of God. However funny you can find that, you call yourself what you want to be. Amen. And if it's about this one, I want to rest. Amen. I want God working things out. Even as I go about my daily activities, I go about my daily job, daily living, I trust God to orchestrate his rest for me. I trust God to surround me with favor like a shield. I trust God to shine his face upon me every time. I trust God to take away struggles. I trust God to take away ill health. I trust God to grant me peace of mind. I trust God for rest. I trust God for rest. As he has done it in salvation, I know it's my daily experience. His rest is mine. His rest is mine. So in the world, there are different encounters. Regardless of your encounters, regardless of your the things that appear to trouble your mind. Some people, they are looking at, oh, when do I start a family? Oh, when do I do this one? Oh, when do I get this job? Oh, when do I get this one? This. Let your mind be at rest. And let God work things out. Sometimes we think too much. And those thoughts put us in unbelief.
those thoughts sometimes, they put us in a state where God is incapacitated. You know, you can tie the hands of God. A man can tie God's hands. A man can tie God's hands. That God will not be able to do anything. Yet, a man can move God's hands. I believe in his rest, and I believe it's for me. I believe it. All my life, I'll be surrounded with favor. I'll be surrounded with God's rest. He is for me. See what Solomon was saying now. He said, I know my father was surrounded with war and enemies, but me, I'm surrounded with rest all around me. What a proclamation. What a statement. What a man. So that there's no adversary, nor evil occurrence. There's rest for me. You know, the fact that everybody is struggling to get something doesn't mean you have to struggle to get the same. In my ministry, there's rest for me. There's rest. There is rest for me on all sides in the name of Jesus. Oh, all things are working together for my good. All things are working together for my good. Even the things I don't know about, God orchestrates things for my good. They are working together for me. His plans will come to pass. I will enter into the rest. I will enter into his rest. I walk in it every day. I don't walk in struggles. I don't walk in turbulence. I don't walk in turmoil. There is no storm in my life. There's rest for me. 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 In the name of Jesus. There's rest for me. There's rest for me. In the name of Jesus. There's rest for me. 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 In my service to God, there's rest for me. Let go pass some bretigera. All around, I'm surrounded with rest. I'm surrounded with peace. I'm surrounded with good health. In the name of Jesus. I don't care what's happening behind the scene. I know the script is working out for me. The script is working out for me. The script is working out for me. God is for me. His rest is mine. Pray for yourself this morning. Remember the Sabbath. He told Israel, I will give you rest. So my presence will go with you. And it comes with rest. My glory will go with you. I really believe that this is for someone. Your heart is troubled. Different waves of emotions. Sometimes it looks like confusion. God wants to give you rest. He wants to give you rest. His Sabbath is yours. And it's every day. I will never know defeat. His rest is mine. My ministry, my family, my work, his rest is mine. My life is not in shambles. My life is not in confusion. My life is not in turmoil. I'm not in a storm. I'm not in a storm. In the name of Jesus.
His rest is mine. He see me for coming. There's rest for my soul. Every day I remember his Sabbath. And I walk in the same. Amen.
You know, Philippians 4. Can we turn the Bible there? Philippians 4. Are you there? We're going to read verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. In what? Some people have in every situation. Right? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Whatever can make you to be anxious can make you to pray. Whatever can make you to be anxious can make you to make your request known to God. Then verse 7 says, the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Be anxious for nothing. But if you are anxious in everything, let your request be made known to God. And that's what I want you to do this morning. Don't speak in tongues. Don't speak in tongues. If you have anything that troubles your heart, and if there's nothing in the natural that troubles your heart, your ministry. Amen. Amen. If you don't have disciples in church this morning, that should be your first request like this. Sincerely, may you not be barren. I didn't hear amen. May you not be barren.
Amen.
Jesus said, he that is not for us is against us. If you are not replenishing the earth, then you are against the bandit. There's no middle ground. There's no I'm trying. You are either for the mandate or against them. Make your request known to God. Is that fine? Can we do that? And you believe that God will hear you? Go ahead and do it.